The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the first organization ever, it's Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt.
How are you doing?
Good, good.
Have we made the connection with Arnisha over
I text her, but she's going to find me when she needs me.
Got it.
I figured.
Across the table from me, Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. End of another long week.
Advising is tricky, although all of you, to some extent, will be getting advisees of mine in their classes. Look out for them. Take care of them, you know. You're not teaching VizCom this term, Professor Roach, so I won't be sending any advisees. You're on leave.
I am.
What are you going to be up to, Jason?
Probably chasing a two-year-old and maybe starting another documentary project.
Well, that's a big deal.
I haven't determined that yet.
Are we allowed to ask what's tickled your fancy?
I've got a couple ideas in the works, but I haven't decided on one yet.
Okay, very cool.
But when I do, I'll let you know.
Please, please do.
Sporting related?
One of them, yes. And the other's Detroit-themed, 1967-themed.
Oh, my.
But I don't know if I could get it done in time to get the publicity from the 50th anniversary.
Yes, plus the big movie coming out in the next X number of months. So
they wanted cars from me for that one, too.
So. Oh, my.
Wrangling cars.
That is the voice of Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies. Talk to us about your cars.
The production company wanted 1967 on backwards, for like cars,
and wow.
Mine was a little too old for it, so we got some of the other folks in the Mopar group to lease out four cars for the shoot.
Very cool.
So, but awesome. I guess they were left in sketchy neighborhoods, and security had to be on staff nonstop. So.
Oh my gosh. That's okay. Be careful about it.
Welcome to movie making.
That's awesome. Classic cars is a big deal around here.
Yes.
Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on Facebook. We are finishing up a set of questions all over the map from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. According to the American Film Institute's 50 Top Screen Legends category, which of these is still alive? You guys had figured out that Kirk Douglas, Sophia Loren, and Sidney Poitier by now were still alive, although Frank adds, hopefully at the reading of these questions, none of these legends have passed, which is entirely possible.
So far, entirely possible.
Okay, in the Bible, who is the son of Joash?
Who's Joash?
Joash Jr.?
Little Joash.
That pretty much covers it.
Joash.
Well, how about I give you the clue if I talked about tiny green copies of the New Testament?
Gideon.
It was Gideon's.
Oh.
Yes. The Gideons are just always on campus.
He lived in a drawer in a hotel room outside of Dallas.
That's right.
Although I was staying in a hotel in Charlottesville, Virginia, and opened the drawer, and the Bhagavad Gita was in the drawer.
Really?
Which I thought was very interesting.
Very interesting. I can't help but notice the Gideons seem to be on our campus pretty early in the semester, and then the little green copies of the New Testament, they kind of live in the public spaces around the buildings for a few months, and then they kind of disappear until the Gideons return.
That's true. Swallows of Capistrano kind of thing?
It's sort of like that.
Show up in the
It is. It is true. In what city is the oldest working water tower in the United States of America?
Philadelphia.
It's not Philly. It's actually a little more towards the heartland.
Chicago.
Not Chicago. A little less towards the heartland.
Oh, okay.
Columbus, Cleveland.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
I'll give you a hint that it's in the great state of Kentucky, built in 1860 and still in use.
Louisville?
It's in Louisville. Yeah, that's what it says. Mm. The Louisville Major Water Tower, built in 1860, still in use.
Really? It hasn't rusted yet.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, is it wood?
Could be made of wood.
Or plastic.
Or plastic.
Yeah.
1860. Could be
vinyl.
1860s plastic.
It's ceramic.
This is a wonderful little piece of trivia. The Concorde, I think you guys all know, since decommissioned. So the Concorde's main flight was between Europe and the United States, but there was only one inter-U.S. flight made. Where was it from and ending?
L.A. to New York?
It was New York to Dallas, actually.
Dallas.
Yeah, the oil fields for the investors back when it was a big deal.
That'd be like a blink of an eye for that thing, wouldn't it?
No kidding.
I got to be like 10 minutes.
No, I don't think it would. Yeah, like, no, it wouldn't reach supersonic speed over the U.S.
Give me my drink. Here's the glass. Take it back.
I mean, like, take a sip. Give it right back to me. Everybody remembers that The Buggles, A Video Killed the Radio Star, was the first video aired on MTV. From whence came The Buggles? What city?
Palo Alto, California.
They were weren't they
British?
They were
Edinburgh,
British.
Edinburgh. Yeah.
So, Manchester.
London? London's a good guess. London, yep, they were from London.
No.
The Buggles.
Can't be any more English than that, right?
So. You cannot. You can try, but you cannot. During the Civil War, what were goober grabbers?
Peanut farmers.
Yeah.
Really, really close. They were a kind of soldier.
Oh, kind of soldier.
What, they were like infantry or
Did
something like that?
Did they steal from dead soldiers?
No. No.
Would that be a good
Jim was on the right track.
Did they hide in peanut fields?
No, but that's good.
Did they
serve peanut soup?
Red Hots, get your Red Hots.
You guys are dancing around the outer edge, so as always, partial credit. They were soldiers that originated from the great state of Georgia.
Oh,
Georgia.
Okay, all right.
List 4 out of the 6 words from Webster's Dictionary that end in O-U-S.
Six? Glamorous.
Harmonious.
Hazardous. Virtuous.
Wow, I guess there's more than 6 words. Oh. So far, the only one you said that's on this list is hazardous.
Virtuous.
Virtuous isn't on the list.
Well, it should
hazardous.
Be.
Hazardous, O-U-S.
Yeah. Hazardous, yeah.
Hazardous.
It's ambiguous.
Jealous. Yeah, there's a lot more than 6 words.
Well, yes.
Jealous.
I've got Jeopardous. That's fun.
What? Jeopardous.
Palidus.
Never heard
Tremendous,
of.
Horrendous, Stupendous.
Oh.
And Jealous.
And you guys named like 6 more that also were on this list. So,
and Ginormous.
Oh. I'm wondering though, does Virtuous end in O-U-S? Or does
yes.
It, does it? Okay. I'm just making sure.
It's U-O-U-S, right?
U-O-U-S,
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it was only supposed to be O-U-S.
Maybe it's only after the consonant
that
the
true.
O-U-S comes.
I believe that's what
that
it
must
is.
Be what it is.
Or that would have been difficult to come up with palidus, which I believe means pale.
Pale.
Or Webster's first edition. So.
Yeah, what? Exactly. Yeah. There is only one currently minted U.S. coin that can be picked up using a magnet. What is it?
The one that's got steel in it?
Yeah, yes. That's correct.
Right. World War II penny, right?
World War II steel penny, yes. Nice.
From in 1943. Yes. That's the only year they made that.
Mm-hmm. In what year, last question, by the way, these were wonderful, Frank, send us a billion more. In what year did what was the first year that Americans spent more in restaurants than they did in supermarkets or grocery stores?
Yesterday?
Let's say fairly recently.
Yeah, fairly recent and yesterday.
98?
Pretty darn close, actually.
98?
No, it was actually more recent than that.
2015?
2015 is what it says.
2015?
Wow, the first year.
Wow.
Very well done, professors. I'm giving you A+. Plus,
I have heard that millennials are more prone to eat out than eat at home.
That's true. Oh,
I always joke the biggest thing I have in my fridge is styrofoam. So and lots of paper products. And
your styrofoam always has the cool drawing.
Sometimes the main content of my refrigerator is green and fuzzy.
Choice. Are you eating cat?
If you eat out so much, are you mindful of what you're eating?
Yes.
Because, like, takeout food can be pretty fat.
Salty and fatty.
Salty, yes. Bad for
sugary.
You.
So I have a set of questions here. I'll be honest about where they came from because they're just absolutely wonderful. And my wife and I got a chance about a month ago to see a live stage show. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Adam Conover, the comedian's TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. It's about him talking about the hidden truth behind things that we take for granted in our lives. Mm. And he was doing an election special. So I thought you guys would get a kick out of 8 facts from the election special, just so you know ahead of time. The purpose of the show, which ended up becoming a TV show on True TV that aired just last week, this is being taped before the election, we can reveal that, was to bring light to the fact that a lot of people think that our current election scenario is unique, when really, in the eye of history, it is not very much. For instance,
I'll believe that when you go through these questions.
Who was the first American woman to be elected president
of the United States?
It does not say that.
So I'm guessing it's a Native American from the
like Sacagawea.
Nope.
Somebody from the Haudenosaunee people.
Sojourner Truth.
Nope. It's not
president of what?
It's not a Native American.
Is it president of
could have been
an organization?
Dolly Madison.
It's not Dolly Madison. No. No, this woman was elected president of Guyana in 1997, and she is an American citizen.
Wow, that's a great question.
No Guyana.
Barbara Jordan?
Her name was Janet Rosenberg Jagan, or Jagan, and she grew up on the south side of Chicago and met a Guyanan man and married him and moved. And he became president of Guyana in the early 90s. And then afterwards, under the first elections in that country, by the way, he passed away suddenly, and she did not immediately take his place. She ran in the next election, and she's the first American woman to be elected president of something.
Wow. That's an awesome
piece of trivia. Yeah. There's only one way that we can phrase this question, because one of the parts of the show was about a certain thing that Mr. Donald Trump tends to talk about a lot, that we think something that he possesses on his person, referring to the size of his hands, etc. There was a president of the United States who, according to the press corps during his presidency, said, "This man mentions his manhood every other day, and once unzipped his pants and showed it to us."
LBJ.
LBJ, yes. Really? It was LBJ. Very well done. LBJ, if only Roy were here, who famously made a female biographer follow him into the bathroom so that he could use the facilities while continuing to tell the story he was saying to her.
It was probably Doris Kearns Goodwin that he
I believe it was Doris Kearns Goodwin. Wow. So, interesting. For the record, just, you know, to make sure everything's clear.
And he used to pick up his beagles by the ears.
That's right. Oh, that's
for
right.
For photographers.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Off the ground?
Off the ground.
I'd pick up my nephew by his ears. He's only gotten to my wrist at the time, so he doesn't realize that his hands are holding him up.
But yet.
He thinks it's his ears. Yeah.
Just don't do it when he's 24. That's all.
Oh, no.
The original factoid also repeats that even though he was very well known for showing his stuff in front of reporters, only a few, and I quote, "only a few diplomats and members of Congress revealed that they had also seen the president's manhood." Only a few.
I wonder
what we would call that diplomacy.
Oh, my. Okay, so these words were written by a man named James Callender in 1800.
What day of the year?
Good question.
That was a calendar question.
In the year 1800.
In the year 1800.
That was a nasty election.
Yes. Thomas Jefferson hired James Callender to write these words about what person? "This man has a hideous, hermaphroditical character, which is neither the force and firmness
John
of a man,
Adams.
Nor the gentleness and sensibility of a woman." John Adams. Yes.
Oh,
boy, oh, boy, did they hate each other.
That was a famous line. Well, of course, John Adams was hiring newspaper people to report on Jefferson's illegitimate children with slaves.
That's so right.
It went both ways.
Pretty unbelievable. I guess, from my understanding, because we're talking about the election that Adams won, right? Does that make sense? That Martha Washington got involved in that back and forth. I had never heard that
before. I didn't know that.
So pretty weird stuff.
Can you imagine if they had social media back then?
Probably enough to say, "I have the vapors."
What emoji would you use to describe this? Oh, my gosh. So one of the other parts of Adam Conover's show, which I thought was really, really well done, just unbelievably well-researched, is that we're getting a pretty strong racist vibe from the Republican Party, and in particular Donald Trump during this campaign. But of course, we had a certain person named George Wallace who electorally carried five states in the 1968 presidential election, running on primarily a segregationist platform. What five states did George Wallace carry?
Alabama,
Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana,
and
South Carolina.
Arkansas. There we go. Yeah. Those five. Yes. So we literally had a presidential election that hinged on that single item.
So he only
carried
five states?
As a third party.
He was a third party.
He was third party. That beats Perot, by the way.
But even still.
So just running as an independent?
That beats any third party candidate in modern history.
And while we think about that, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
Really? Did he give you a discount or a freebie?
No,
or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Our next set of questions comes from Kathra. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
I don't know. From Grand Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So.
Wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. Anyway. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program. Good. I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles. By the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
Forget it. From the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, no.
This is our worst.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you get right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
Find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of
you
chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you
on
the
show.
How
nice that somebody actually cares about
it. That's wonderful.
And we are back. We know full well in the grand time machine of recording things and playing them at later dates that there will be a new president of the United States. It's just a matter of who it's going to be. And we're following up some questions I put together from Mr. Adam Conover's Adam Ruins Everything, which was an awesome stage show I went to go see in Pontiac, Michigan. He recorded a show in front of a larger audience in L.A. and then turned that into his TV show. If you haven't seen it, it's absolutely hilarious and, frankly, downright inspiring. He always ends with a positive message. Who was the first female candidate for president of the United States in 1870?
Susan B. Anthony?
Sojourner Truth.
It wasn't Sojourner Truth. It wasn't Susan B. Anthony.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton?
Nope. They're all, as I like to say, in the wheelhouse. Her name was Victoria Woodhull.
Mm.
And it's, of course, remarkable because she ran before women could vote in the election.
I was just going to ask, was she certified as a candidate?
Yep, she was a real candidate. Well, not a major party candidate, but she was a candidate.
Constitution doesn't say you have to be a male to run.
Right.
You just had to be a male to vote at that time.
And one of the things pointed out in the comedy show is how the press immediately jumped on her and basically said that she
was... Figuratively speaking?
Well, it depends on your perspective, because they directly quoted the fact that she must sleep with the devil to think that she can run for president. And the political cartoons of the day, basically certified by both Republicans and Democrats, said, can you believe it? She thinks she can get elected, and they just ripped her to shreds in the press.
The
pretty
power
sad
of a good
stuff.
Cartoon.
That's right. Power of a good cartoon. Oh, there you go.
Definitely.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Specific barriers that certain presidents and presidential candidates faced.
Like a Mexican wall?
There are some that think that this woman ran the United States of America for about a year and a half.
Edith Bowling Galt Wilson.
Edith Wilson.
I was thinking Nancy Reagan.
I was going to say Nancy Reagan.
Woodrow Wilson's wife.
Well, he had a major stroke, and she decided who would get in the room or not. Usually it was his doctor and maybe one other person.
That's right.
So she kind of controlled the flow of things in the White House.
Pretty interesting.
That's powerful.
Pretty interesting. Certainly the most powerful person in the United States at that time, right? I believe I brought this one up before, but I couldn't help myself. Which presidential candidate was called a cannibal and asked to answer for, quote, eating native babies, unquote, by his opponent in the 1828 presidential election?
Probably. Probably Andrew Jackson.
It was Andrew Jackson.
Sounds like
he did everything but eat Native American babies.
Yeah, it sounds
he
like
killed them, right and left.
Definitely killed them. Yep.
Starved them to death, walked them till they died.
Unbelievable.
And then when the Supreme Court told him he couldn't do that anymore, he said, you and what army are going to stop me?
Wow. Jeez.
A real gentleman.
A real gentleman. Our $20 bill, ladies and gentlemen.
Not for long.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. They're getting rid of that.
That's why they was the first to go.
That was easy pickings.
Who was the first African-American woman who ran for president of the United States in 1972?
Shirley Chisholm.
Shirley Chisholm, yes. Who essentially, according to the show that I saw, ran 100% on the platform of I'm running for president, and this has never been done before. And from the instant she filed her papers, received 550 billion death threats a day, and the fact that she survived to old age was absolutely fascinating. So some pretty interesting stuff there.
I always wish that Barbara Jordan would have been the second, but
interesting.
She was not interested in running for president.
Right. You have to be called to the presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just can't, you know, getting death threats, you know, for running for public office. So that just blows my mind. That's all. So.
Well, these days you can get death threats for saying you're going to vote for the wrong person.
Yeah, I know.
Was it true or not? Where the gal claims that she grabbed the sign to pull it off her lawn and had razor blades stuck into the bottom of it.
And there's one I saw with like nails.
Ay, caramba.
So anyway.
These times in which we live.
Yeah, it makes egging a house seem pedestrian.
Yeah, I know. Soap a window. Ooh.
Toilet paper.
Dear Madam Panelists, once more I've come up with a list centered around television. I hope the 15 questions I've submitted will still be challenging. Below is a list of 15 sets of TV parents. It's going to be up to you to come up with the names of the children that they had.
Oh, no.
As always, I'll defer to Professor Miles' judgment as to what he deems worthy of passing. Please enjoy Julie Elder of Poughkeepsie, New York.
Julie, thanks for writing, and I hope you included Jason and Maggie.
We're going to find out.
Okay. Well, Jason, you're the only one that's a parent here right about now.
And my wife's name is
Maggie.
Oh,
okay.
But hopefully you didn't have an evil child like they did.
That's growing pains, right?
I'll let you think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Continue.
Archie and Edith Bunker.
Meathead? No.
No. Gloria. Oh, yeah. Gloria. Meathead was her son-in-law.
That's right.
Very good.
Sally Struthers.
From what TV show?
All in the Family.
All in the family. Howard and Marion Cunningham.
Chuck, Richie, and Joni.
I knew the day.
Oh, no, they had Chuck. There was an older brother.
Chuck.
Yeah, remember
in the first couple.
Do you remember
episodes?
That one years ago? We had that one question. What was Joni's nickname? Remember?
She had a nickname.
Fonzie called her
like Little Pint or Small Fry.
Jim. I remember Jim and I had. Short Round or something like that?
Short something.
No, it was
short.
Shortcake, beefcake, or something like that.
Wow. Short cake. Memory, guys. We'll get.
Yeah, remember? I think we were joking about was it called on. Pound cake, you know, round cake, or beef pie, or something like that. I mean,
beef pie.
No, she Pot was pie? A cute little thing.
She was cute. Mork and Mindy McConnell.
They had a kid.
No, not Girth. Mirth.
Mirth was his
Girth.
Name.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan Winters.
Yes,
I do remember that.
Well, I don't know. He was kind of girthy,
jumped
wasn't
the
he?
Shark, wasn't it?
He was Girth.
Yeah,
he had Girth.
That.
He definitely
was Robin Williams' idol. That's why they had him on for the longest time.
And a good one. Jonathan Winters was great.
He was hilarious. Wasn't he the lower...
Yes.
No, that's George Gobel I'm thinking of.
He was often on Hollywood Square.
Yeah, but what square was he? Was he the lower right?
I think lower left.
No, George God. Gobel.
If you can remember who's on this.
Wow. George Gobel's lower left.
Where was Charles Nelson Reilly?
Upper left.
Philip and Vivian Banks.
Uh-oh. I'd never watched this show.
Carlton... Ashley?
Oh, Fresh Prince?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And who's the other one? Who's the oldest Carlton, daughter?
Ashley and...
I didn't watch it too much.
Tiffany?
Possible President of the United
Hillary.
States?
Okay,
Hillary. Yes, there we go. Carlton, Hillary, Ashley Banks from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mike and Carol Brady.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jan,
well,
Marcia.
Nobody, because they didn't
That is the correct
together.
Answer. They did not have any children together.
Nice. Good call. Yeah, I was going to start off. Well,
if played. Everybody wants to list off Greg, Marcia, Peter, Jan, Bobby, and Cindy, they are more than welcome to.
And Tiger, their dog, too. That I was wondering about that. Like, wait a minute, they had AstroTurf in the backyard.
Oh. They really did.
They did.
And they never explained what happened to Tiger.
Wasn't there a famous modern TV character that claimed their superpower was, I know what episode of the Brady Bunch it's going to be from the establishing shot of the house at the beginning of every episode? I want to say that it feels like a Big Bang, you know, kind of thing, but there was that makes me laugh every time I think about
after
it.
After a while, did you think that was just like a stock shot? You know, it's like they run it constantly?
Yeah, there's no need to remake that.
Yeah,
right?
I was going
to
say, kidding. Shoot the house once and be done with.
Well,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, like Leave it to Beaver, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but the house
that changed over
recycled,
time.
Recycled,
that's
yeah.
right. That's it. That's absolutely right. Danny and Pam, parentheses, deceased, Tanner.
What? This was what? Was this Full House?
It's Full House.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
God.
The kids were Mary-Kate, Ashley.
Those were the actresses that played Michelle, so I'm giving you partial credit for that.
I never watched it either.
That I didn't either.
They had three daughters, DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle, played by Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, the twins.
Who show up at CCS every now and then.
Nice. Do they? What?
They're artists.
They were designing stuff for Shinola.
Oh, really? So, yeah. Well, but one of them is more into the art, and one of them is more into the movies.
I could tell the difference.
No, they're both into designing stuff now, clothing and things like that.
The merchandising is unreal. So.
Okay. Is it okay to ask this question? I guess we're going to try. Cliff and Claire Huxtable.
Theo.
Mm-hmm.
Raven.
No.
Rudy.
No. Rudy.
Theo, Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
Denise.
And Denise. Two more. That's the middle child.
Not Claire. The Claire
oldest
was mom.
One. Oh, no. Denise was the oldest one?
Denise.
Mm-hmm. No, Denise wasn't.
Lisa Bonet played.
Lisa Bonet was the one that's the oldest, right?
No, Lisa Bonet played Denise, but she wasn't the oldest. Mm. The two names you're missing, you have Denise, Theo, and Rudy. You're missing one that starts with V and one that starts with S.
Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
Man.
So the middle child, who definitely had the middle child syndrome, was Vanessa.
Vanessa. Okay, yes. Oh.
And the one that was really only on at the beginning and the end was...
Sandra. She was the one that married the pilot, wasn't it?
Something like that?
They wrote her off the show. Doctor.
What do we know?
He was trying to be a doctor.
That's right.
Okay. We've run out of time, though, so I guess it's time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Roach.
Adios.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Maggio.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And now, these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals. Maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers. Because those are the people who make things happen. Great things. For themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today. Or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and technically, our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.